Today's program has been brought to you by Cane Vineyard and Winery, a Napa Valley winery committed to respecting the soil and dedicated to the creation of three Cabernet blends. For more information, visit cane5.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
You're listening to Let's Get Real, the cooking show about finding, preparing, and eating food on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Erica Wides, your host. And I have a little niece, my littlest niece, and she's fat. Yep. She's 20 months old, a year and a half, and she is a chubster. She has little fat hands and little fat legs, and if you're 20 months old, that can be really, really cute. And she's adorable. She's funny little cute baby, and she's great, charming, but at her last checkup, the pediatrician told her parents that she's overfed and overweight. So she's been put on a diet at 20 months old. Now, it's not like a celery and skinless chicken breast diet or a juice cleanse, although I'm sure they have juice cleanses for toddlers already. No, they were just told to cut back on the snacking, that they really needed to stop her from reaching her 36-inch tall, 20-month-old self, 4 feet up into the cabinets and drawers where she was taking too many snacks out for herself all day. I don't think she's the one feeding herself the snacks. You know, the handfuls of crackers they give her to keep her happy before a meal here, or the little plastic snack cup of Goldfish crackers there. And like all toddlers everywhere, the endless fistfuls of Cheerios placed in front of her to keep her amused, or brought along in a little Ziploc bag in the car to keep them quiet. It's an endless finger food feast of Cheerios and other processed refined grain and sugar snacks for a toddler in today's America. And not having any of my own kids, of course, I can't judge. Well, yeah, I can judge because this is my show and it's built on judgment, but I don't really remember being fed an endless stream of snacks as a tot. I don't remember my mom packing a snack for me every time we got into the car or went out for a walk or at every social activity. But from my childless observation, it seems to be the norm now. Snacks are imperative at every turn. You can't go anywhere without a snack. And Cheerios seem to be the gateway snack food, starting kids off as soon as they have those two little teeth up front to gnaw them, and leading to a lifetime of endless snacking, addicted to refined grains and sugar and sweetness. And it starts with the Cheerios at one, and before you know it, they're cutting a hole in the side of your house and bringing in a crane to get you out. So Corinne has been cut off. There's no more snacking for her, just meals, like an adult, or how an adult is supposed to behave, before our 24-hour cable news and snacking cycle became the norm. Because the foodiness industry wants you to snack. They want to sell you as much food as possible because they can produce so much of it so cheaply. And so it starts in infancy and it just keeps going. But look where it's taken us, to a nation full of WALL-E people, too overweight to stand up, clutching bottomless sippy cups of sweetened drinks, staring at screens. And just so you don't think that the foodiness industry doesn't know or even care about what they're doing, they've done us the favor of announcing this week that in the last year, they've cut 6.4 trillion calories from their products. They really do have our best interests at heart, and they care deeply. And they also announced this week that Cheerios, that staple of toddler snack feeding, will remove all the GMOs from their plain Cheerios flavor. Did you know that there are 17 different varieties of Cheerios now? I didn't either. I just found that out. But plain Cheerios are made from processed oat powder and sugar, and oats have never been GMO. So they've basically just swapped one form of sugar for another and given themselves a massive pat on the back for doing so. So when I heard about this news last week, I thought, are they kidding? Do Do they think that we are that stupid that we believe they're doing something good and altruistic and positive? No. And so when I realized that in the same week we had the announcement about the massive calorie cut we've all benefited so immensely from, obviously, and the great news about Cheerios, I thought, this is a very special occasion. And special occasions require special guests. So guess what? Tonight, in the Fallout Shelter, we have Let's Get Real's resident nutrition educator, Kristen Wortman. Yay! You all know Kristen. She's come on the show before, occasionally. And Kristen has a little office downstairs here in the Foodiness Fallout Shelter, and she also runs seminars and boot camps at Foodiness Reeducation Camp every summer. And usually we just leave her alone in her little office because she's writing a book and she needs quiet time, but this warranted a visit to the shelter studio. And in case you forgot how important and impressive Kristen is, she is a journalist focusing on the intersections of food, health, and politics and culture, and her work has appeared in the New York Times, The Atlantic, Huffington Post, Civil Eats, and Grist, among many others. She's currently writing a book on how the industrial food system is changing our minds, bodies, and culture. And Kristen is also a certified nutrition educator and works as a nutrition consultant with various doctors in New York City and, of course, is our in-house nutrition educator. So welcome back to this Fallout Shelter, Kristen.
Thank you. Thanks for having me back.
So good to have you back. How's the office working out?
It's great. I love it.
You like it?
Yeah.
It's okay.
Oh, yeah.
Temperature's all right.
It's perfect.
It's good. All that furniture is, you know, made from recycled wood.
Of course.
And yeah, all of that. So you had an article appear. Oh, we were going to take a break before we got into this. Let's take a break.
Okay.
Sorry. And we'll be right back. And then we're going to talk about your article.
Okay.
Okay. So we'll be right back.
This is Chris Howell from Cane Vineyard and Winery, calling in from Spring Mountain above the Napa Valley. Thank you for listening to this show. In our industrial world of highly processed food and wine, we support the values of Heritage Radio Network. All of us at Cane encourage you to seek out individuality and beauty in everything you eat and drink. To learn more about us, go to cane5.com.
Welcome back to Let's Get Real, the cooking show about finding, preparing, and eating food on Heritage Radio Network. I'm Erica Weitz, your host, and we have our nutrition educator, Kristen Wortman, in studio with us tonight because we are discussing the big announcement this week from Cheerios that they removed GMOs from their Cheerios, GMO ingredients, and also that the processed food industry has announced that they've removed 6.4. What's a half a trillion calories from what?
From
America's food.
Yeah. So the announcement is that they've cut back on 6.4 trillion calories across the board in all processed foods. Mm-hmm. And they were very self-congratulatory about this, of course. Michelle Obama was very pleased. They are so excited that they've exceeded their expectations. So, of course, this is a great opportunity for the industry to feel good about basically, you know, not doing much, in my opinion. What they've really done is made this sort of meaningless change and kept all the bad content of the food.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's, you know, because it's really not about the quantity. It's really more about the quality. So when they do something like this, they can just keep all the really bad quality ingredients and not really address that.
Sure. Sure. I mean, it's just substituting one bad thing with another bad thing,
right,
or just, you know, taking out the fat and adding more sugar or whatever it is,
right,
and that they're going to do.
Right. In this case, what they did was they basically reduced portion sizes in a lot. So they've made those 100 calorie packs and they made some drinks smaller than others. But again, this is, you know, are people eating these one small servings too?
Yeah.
You know, even if their calorie argument is true that that cutting back on calories matters. You can't just reduce. You can't just say only one serving of these foods. Who eats one serving of like Oreos or one serving of cereal or one serving of M&Ms? Because these foods are processed to be addictive.
Right.
To want you to make you, they make you eat more of them.
They're calibrated.
That's the whole point.
Right.
So it's a ridiculous announcement.
It's like Kafka-esque. It's like we're saying that they're doing a good thing, but by reducing portion sizes, also they're just giving you less product. So they're still charging you the same amount. They're giving you less. It's like it's a favor to you. Like, oh, we're doing this for you because we care by giving you less.
Yeah.
There's something really bizarre.
It's really bizarre.
There. It's like bizarro world.
It totally is. And then, you know, the other thing when I wrote this article for Civil Eats about it.
Right. Which appeared yesterday, right?
Monday.
Tuesday. Monday. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, right. Yesterday.
So yesterday. And if you're listening to this live. Right. On civileats.com. Okay.
And I interviewed Dr. Robert Lustig, who's the reigning expert really on this idea that all calories are not created equal and that sugar is really the root of our obesity and diet-related disease epidemics. Mm-hmm. And when I asked him about this, he said that, you know, they're not taking out the sugar. They're not taking out the disease-causing calories. That's the sugar. They're taking out fat in some of the products. And that's not going to make anyone lose weight because if you look at the recent science, fat does not make people fat.
Right.
It's sugar that makes people fat. And it's refined grains that make people fat. And you know, guess what Cheerios are? They're refined sugar and refined grains. And so are the bulk of processed foods in this country.
Yeah, of course. I mean, they're all engineered to use up surplus commodity grain.
Right.
That's the whole point of them.
They're cheap as possible.
Right. And Cheerios, you know, sort of touts its whole graininess, but that's really misleading and deceptive because they're using these industrially grown oats and then grinding them to the to dust.
Right. Right.
So you're not really getting much benefit from the fiber in them because it's basically pre-digested. It's like eating instant oatmeal. It's pre-digested. You're going to get that same insulin spike because you're not digesting the fiber.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's why when you look at the ingredient panel or the nutrition panel on the side and it says has however many sugar grams of sugar, it's relatively low for Cheerios compared to other cereals, but it's not entirely accurate because it may have, you know, I think it's whatever it is, amount of added sugars, but then it's all those refined grains.
Yeah.
So refined grains spike your insulin in just the same way that sugar does.
Right.
So the combination of refined grains and sugar is having this really bad effect on your whole metabolic profile, and it's leading to diabetes.
Diabetes.
Yeah. I mean,
right.
And so it's, you know, the industry's not addressing the real issues as usual because it doesn't. Obviously, it doesn't behoove them to address the real issues. They want to keep this facade that all calories are created equal. It's about personal responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Like
choice.
your little baby niece who has to cut back on snacking. That's what they tell everyone, every American. They say cut back on food and exercise more. Well, another thing that Dr. Lustig will tell you is that exercise is actually irrelevant for weight loss.
Hmm.
It's amazing for overall health. There's probably nothing better for your health than
for longevity.
Yeah. But in terms of weight loss, it's not effective. The only effective thing for weight loss is reducing the kinds of calories that cause weight gain, which are sugar and refined grains, and eating a whole foods diet.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's what we've been screaming about
for
weeks. Yeah. On last week's show, that's what I talked about.
Yeah.
Your mom was a liar because my mom was a liar. We grew up eating cereal and drinking
orange
juice.
You know, this is what we were told. For, we've been told this for about 50 or 60 years that that's what we should eat, low fat and, you know, avoid all the fat, eat up, load up on the carbs. That whole low fat craze was all about pasta.
Right.
You know, and cereal.
Right. And selling more.
Right.
Of commodity.
Right.
Yeah. And people still buy into it. I mean, it's amazing
how
pervasive it is. You and I were talking about this the other day. It's
still
so pervasive. The egg whites and the low fat and the skim and the diet and everything.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So your article for Civil Eats, you covered two different things. You talked about the Cheerios and you also talked about the reduction in
calories.
And when I read your article and then I read another one where it may have been Bittman's article about how the whole GMO thing with the Cheerios, let's talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is really deceptive also because, right. like I said earlier, oats have never...
They've never been GMO.
They're one of the few grains that aren't.
Right.
So it's very misleading. And what they're doing is basically swapping one sugar for another.
They're changing. So sugar beets are grown in this country. They're all genetically modified.
Mm-hmm.
But cane sugar is not genetically modified. Mm-hmm. So they're switching out the beet sugar for cane sugar. And they're also, there's cornstarch in there. So they're using a non-GMO kind of cornstarch. Mm-hmm. But it was really easy for them to make that change because the basis of the product is oats, which are GMO-free. And most of Europe, they have to sell GMO-free Cheerios anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not as if this is some novel thing that they've never done before.
Yeah.
But of course, they're saying it's this huge, significant investment for them to do this. You know, they're doing us this huge favor by making GMO-free Cheerios, but then they also say that they're not going to do it with the rest of the products. And like you said, they have 17 other
flavors
of Cheerios. They're not going to get into changing those ingredients because it's too costly. And you know, here in America, unlike Europe, we're not required to have GMO labeling. So,
although I feel like GMO has become this real flashpoint hot topic, and people are really freaked out about it. And
definitely.
You know, you and I were talking about this over the weekend, how, you know, the jury's still out. I mean, there's no conclusive evidence either way, but there are some studies that are pointing to it. And it's generally, I think, not a good idea.
Yeah.
And, you know, people who are sort of aware try to avoid it. But,
Environmentally, I don't think there's any... It's entirely clear that it's bad for the environment.
Yeah.
We know that when you use GMO products, they're bred to be resistant to pesticide.
Right, like BT corn.
And so we use more pesticide on the crop, which is terrible for our environment. It's terrible for human health, too. So it's like, how do you define human health? You know? It's getting into the streams. It's getting into the rivers. It's like this huge polluter of American waterways, all these pesticides. It's actually the number one polluter of American waterways. And as far as, you know, studies about the health effects on human beings, yeah, there's no conclusive evidence, but the reason there's no conclusive evidence is because the industries like Monsanto are so powerful. These biotech industries are so powerful that they intimidate researchers out of doing independent research. They shut them down if they do it, which was what happened with this rat study that was retracted. It was, you know, shut down and told that it was not a valid study. And that's still up for debate, really.
They're like the mafia of the food industry. They're like thugs.
I mean, it's really scary. And
it's like farmers in India who kill themselves because they can't afford to buy the
Monsanto
seed.
Half a million Indian farmers have committed suicide over the course since Monsanto has gone in and taken over their farming. And it's made farmers less self-sufficient. They can't afford the seed. They can't afford all the pesticide. You know, I mean, there's so many issues with GMOs Monsanto and the biotech industry will say things like we need it to feed the world, but it's not true. I mean, that's not true. That's been disproven.
Yeah.
But back to your point about human health, it's like, you know, Monsanto funds research that says it's okay too.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's just such a corrupted industry. And as far as I'm concerned, if the jury's still out on something, like I don't want to eat it and I don't really recommend other people eat it.
No, I totally agree. But what I was going to say is that, you know, it's sort of it's very opportunistic ploy for them to, you know, trumpet no GMOs on Cheerios, whereas oats have never been GMO. And it's just these tiny little ingredients. It's sort of this very easy, cheap way for them to make themselves seem like the good guys.
Exactly.
With the topic that's become, I think, really sensitive lately. And people are very aware of it, although they don't necessarily really know why or what it's about.
That's right.
And what I thought was really interesting, which I didn't realize, is that if anything is organic and labeled as organic, they can't mention GMOs on there, which seems really backwards and weird because the assumption is that people know that if a product is organic, it can't be GMO.
No, I think most people people don't know that if it's organic, it's also not GMO free.
Right.
And organic producers have been petitioning the FDA to allow them to also put GMO free, and they won't allow it because they say there's no way to validate that or to say it actually is GMO free also, even though under law, if it's organic, it can't be GMO free. This is something that's been in effect for some time now. So I think there's industry behind that too. And we have to really look at that. But the point is Cheerios saw a marketing opportunity. They know it's a huge flashpoint right now, GMOs. They know that consumers have this vague idea of what GMOs are and that there's something controversial about them, and they think, oh, if they see a label, they're going to think, oh, I'm going to do that.
Right.
And then if there's a product that's an organic next to it, they may not buy the better, more responsible organic product because they see that it doesn't have GMO on the front. So, you know, it's very like kind of evil in a way because
it's very evil. It's very deceptive.
It's very deceptive. And they're capitalizing on the fact that consumers don't know anything.
It's almost Orwellian. You know, it's like double speak. It's like saying, oh, no, no, there's no GMOs in this, but there never was.
I think so much of the food industry is Orwellian. Yeah. There's so much of it. It's all double speak. They say one thing, they mean another.
Yeah. I mean, and, you know, foodiness, that's sort of what the concept was based on.
Right.
It's like, you know, throwing this thing up in your face that's terrible for you, but saying, no, 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 it's really good. It's really good. It's really good. It's like truthiness, you know, like, oh, no, no, you know, Al-Qaeda, 9/11, you know, no, it's no, all connected. Yeah, yeah. You know, same.
Right. They just throw these words together.
Right.
Yeah.
And if you say it enough times, people believe it.
Yeah.
My fear is with the whole Cheerios thing is that people will now look at, you know, Cheerios has this reputation as being low in sugar.
Right.
And I didn't even realize they had so many other flavors, but the other flavors are much, much higher in sugars.
Yeah.
The honey nut, and there's chocolate flavored and apple cinnamon, and it's all artificial, and it's all just total crap.
Yeah.
But that people say, oh, no, well, it's Cheerios, so any flavor of Cheerios is fine. But
absolutely.
It's, you know, like eating.
There's an association with the GMO.
With the brand and the GMO free, and also just the brand. And I don't even understand this whole, like, I mean, I don't have kids, but I would never feed that to a toddler.
No.
I would never give a kid this pile of like refined.
No, you shouldn't. And in
carbs
fact,
carbs and sugar as a snack.
They shouldn't even have any grains before they're 12 months old. They don't have amylase, which is the start. This helps you digest starch.
Oh,
and so they shouldn't be getting refined grains, any grains really. But then why start them on refined grains? Like, why not teach them how to eat like real food from day one so that you help develop their palate so they don't then have preferences for these highly refined foods later in life?
Right. It's like what I was saying, that Cheerios, you know, that sort of stuff. It's like the gateway drug.
Yeah.
It just sets up their palate and their taste.
Yeah. When you break down any kind of starch, it turns to sugar in your mouth.
Right.
So it's like,
it like sets them up for it immediately.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so back to the food industry cutting their $6.5 trillion
four.
Whatever.
It's like,
are we seeing any sort of impact?
Right, that's
seeing,
the other thing.
Is everybody suddenly 10 pounds lighter who eats all that stuff?
No, we're not seeing, so far we haven't seen any impact on Americans' waistline. I mean, like when I interviewed Dr. Lustig, he said, you know, I don't have a crystal ball. Like maybe we'll see some effect. But he said, from what I've seen in the work I've done, I wouldn't put any money on it. And it's like, what is it? It comes out to 78 calories per person when you do the math on 6.4 trillion calories. So that means it's about having an apple or something
or
like
an Oreo.
Or an Oreo.
One cookie.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't really believe that's going to make the hugest difference in terms of weight loss.
Right.
And again, like I've never been into counting calories. I never recommend counting calories. I just recommend getting rid of all that crappy processed food and then you would lose weight.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really amazing. I mean, you know, there people throw around this concept of, oh, just 100 extra calories a day will lead to 10 pounds gained over the year. But that's
not
true.
True.
That's all been disproven.
It's been disproven. Yeah. That whole caloric equation that they've been relying on for years. That's part of the whole calorie is a calorie idea, is they've proven that it's actually not true. So it's just not a valid claim anymore.
It's all based on research that was done 75 years
ago,
like in the 40s.
Yeah.
Right. So it's totally irrelevant.
It's really irrelevant. And also, you know, everybody has a different metabolism, functions differently. You break foods down differently. Foods have different kinds of fiber. You know, things come out that aren't absorbed by your body. There's just so many elements. Mm-hmm. It's to say that all calories are the same to me is like the most like antithetical thing to common sense. I just don't understand how people could still believe it. Like I give the example of if you roast a chicken with some sweet potatoes and some spinach and nice and buttery and delicious.
I just ate that over the weekend.
Okay. Or and
same
it has,
exact
say meal. Say like you eat a lot of it and it has like 700 calories or something of a big meal.
Yeah.
Or
I did.
Okay, fine. And then you go to McDonald's and you get a Big Mac, fries, and Coke or something or whatever it is that would amount to like a similar caloric load, like 700 calories. How could you possibly think that those two things are the same in your body? Like, it's crazy that people would actually still believe that, but they do.
I know.
And that's what this whole cut, you know, 6.4 trillion cut is all about, because it's capitalizing on the fact that people are still so misinformed that just cutting calories is all that matters. Doesn't matter what kind of calories.
Right. It's totally Orwellian. It's also like an abusive lover or an abusive parent to me, like punching you in the face at the same time saying, no, look what I'm doing for you. It's good for you. You know, while they're like strangling you.
The food industry is like poisoning you, but then telling you, look what I've done.
Right, look what I've done for you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm so good for you.
Right.
And the whole, you know, Michelle Obama, you know, like mm-hmm. I love her. I want to love her. Mm-hmm. I want to support her. But I feel like, you know, she's so tied. Her hands are so tied by industry. It's like, I wish she could just like break loose and say what she really wants
to say. But she can't because the food industry is so powerful and they control a lot of these governments.
Right. Well, USDA is the marketing branch of the government. Yeah. So, yeah. They can't
do much. She can't do much. And unfortunately, she has this whole thing that she has to work with the industry. I mean, she's always saying like how much we need you to change your food so they can be healthy for the American people. And they're never going to change their foods enough to be healthy. No. That's just not going to happen. It's not possible.
It's not really about changing them. It's about abolishing them.
It is.
Like, it's about saying, like, you guys need to just go away.
Like, I just wish she would say, tell parents, like, don't feed your kids this crap.
Yeah.
Like, feed them real food.
Right.
Like, it would be so amazing if she said that.
We should get her on the show. We need her here. Michelle, we need you here. And then we'll just tell you. And then you can tell everybody else. Stand up there in the Rose Garden with Sam Cass and tell it like it is.
Can you imagine if someone could really do that? I mean,
that would be amazing.
Yeah.
That would be amazing.
Yeah.
So do you want to talk a little bit about your upcoming book?
Sure, I can talk about
it. We have a few minutes left, so I'm opening it up to you.
Thanks.
Or you can talk some more about your article.
Yeah, well, no, the book is, I mean, it's all connected, and I'm obviously writing about the industrial food system, but I'm really looking at the way the industrial food system is changing our culture, you know, deeply changing mm-hmm. our core food culture in this country, and the way it's changing the actual composition of our bodies and our brains and our metabolism and the bacteria in our gut. So I wrote this article for the New York Times called Bad Eating Habits Start in the Womb. Mm-hmm. And that was about this really interesting research that's showing that what pregnant mothers eat and what they eat while they breastfeed has this very long lasting effect on what babies and children will eat into adulthood. So you're really setting your child up for a lifetime of processed foods if you eat them mm-hmm. or vice versa. If you're going to eat really good whole foods, you're going to set them up for those kind of preferences. So that kind of research is really interesting because it shows just how deeply the food industry is controlling us mm-hmm. in many ways. And you think about they're actually being able to cater the taste of unborn children.
Yeah, the fetus. Right, giving a fetus a preference for...
Yeah, and it's scary. Mm-hmm. And, you know, back to the GMO thing, it's like corporate consolidation. We have like a handful of corporations controlling the bulk of the food in this country. So when you think about, you know, who's calling the shots, it's a really small group of people mm-hmm. and they're setting us all up to want to eat their foods. I mean, it's like, of course, for them, it's brilliant. They're making so much money and it's a never ending cycle.
Yeah. And they're getting their raw materials like basically for free because we subsidize all the commodity.
Well, they make Monsanto crops. Makes the
they
corn.
Make it, right. They own the seed and
they own it all. You know what I mean? They own the actual like essence of like they've like patented life forms. That's what Vandana Shiva says. Like mm-hmm. they've patented the very essence of life. That's so crazy.
Yeah.
You know,
that's Orwellian too. It's really insane. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Anything else? We have 1 minute left from your article. Any other salient points you want to bring up?
And Kate, well, if you missed it, the title is GMO-free and fewer calories too. Big Food makes some PR moves, so you can find it on civileats.com.
Okay.
No, I mean, you know, check out my website, kristenwortman.com.
Mm-hmm. We'll be running a food industry education boot camp this summer. No, not really. I really want to do that, though. I think we actually should do that. Have like a boot camp. Have a re-education camp. Session.
That's a great idea.
This summer, you know, we joke about it on the show, but I think it might be kind of fun.
Well, we need it in this country. I mean, it's scary.
The problem is everybody who listens to the show already knows.
I know. We need to figure out a way to reach people.
To get to the mainstream.
I know.
I need to go on Jon Stewart.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Anybody out there listening who has a connection, actually my cousin who's on Al Jazeera America could help me.
Yeah.
Something to think about. Well, we're out of time. Unfortunately, but thanks for coming on.
Thanks for coming
upstairs from your little office down there, and for joining us. It's always good to have you here. People should check out your website, right? Just kristenwartman.com.
That's right.
WARTMAN. And your article is on Civil Eats. yesterday.
Right.
And your Times article was, what, like a month ago?
It was December 1st.
So people can search for that. And yeah. It was right there on the front page.
It was the number one most emailed story on the entire New York Times website for over a day.
That's amazing.
It's awesome because it means people, I think, really care about this issue and they care about feeding their kids right, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's just incredible. The things I see people feeding to babies is like horrifying.
Yeah.
Babies and children. I mean, Corinne, that's why she's fat because...
Right.
I can't say it. I'm not allowed to talk about that. Okay. Sorry. We're out of time. So thanks for joining us.
Remember,
if you don't want to eat shit, always tune in to Let's Get Real, the cooking show about finding, preparing, and eating food. I'm Erica White. This is the Heritage Heritage Radio Network. Thanks to Evan in the control room, Chris Nutter, my co-producer. You can follow me on Twitter at Let's Get Real Show. You can also find the show on Facebook. You can also check out my website, which is letsgetrealshow.com. And I'll be going to IACP in Chicago in March. If anybody else is going, let me know. Send me a tweet so we can get together and talk. Okay, see you next week.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.